praying. You know, there's enough prayer went into that thing. God will want to be through. Maybe it'll just keep going and keep going and keep going. Praise God. He's good. Let's look in the Word of God in the book of Luke now this evening. And I want to show you a story here that we have learned to call the story of the Good Samaritan. That's over here. What chapter are we in here? Where's the story of the Good Samaritan? What chapter? 10. I'm sorry. For some reason or another, I had 15. That's the prodigal son. Luke chapter 10. Now, we're going to use a little Bible study here tonight, and I'm going to give you an outline of this story of the Good Samaritan. And there's so much in this scripture, you can never get it all out, that's for sure. There's many different directions you can go with it and preach it and all that kind of stuff. But give you a brief outline of the whole story, not emphasizing just one certain point, and a lesson or two that we can learn. So I'm going to get you something to write with. In just a minute, after I give this little outline, I'm going to give you 7 points in which the Good Samaritan is just through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're like the Good Samaritan, we'll be like Jesus. We're supposed to follow His example, and He gave us 7 points, or I'm going to give you 7 points here, in which the Good Samaritan was like Jesus. But before that, let's look at just a brief outline of it. Alright? Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. Luke chapter 10 verse 30. And Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Now, there's all kind of stuff in that. Anytime Jerusalem represented the presence of God, he left Jerusalem and went which way? Down. Every time you leave God's presence, there's only one way to go for you, buddy. Down. You never leave God and go up. You always leave God and go down. Jonah went down to Joppa, down to the boat, down to the sides of the boat. Every time you leave the presence of God, you go down. You will not leave the presence of God and go up in your life. You go down. Alright? And the Bible said, "And fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Of course, that's the world and sin and everything. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite," that represented the minister, the priesthood of that day, "when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," that's a half-breed that Jews wouldn't even have anything to do with, "as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him." That good Samaritan went to this fella that was beat up. He went to him. Have you ever heard anybody sing and say the songs that Squire Parson sang, "He came to me, he came to me"? And you ever heard anybody say, "I'm glad God come to where I was"? All right, if you want to be like God, you know what you got to do? You got to go where a sinner is. "I'm glad he came and got me. And if I'm going to do him, I go and get another." He came where he was. He went where the sinner was. He didn't wait on the sinner to come to him. He came, went and got him. All right, "and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil," picture the Holy Spirit, "and wine, and set him on his own beat, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Got him, put him in the motel thing there, the inn, and took care of him. "And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" That 2 pence is a picture of the 2,000-year grace period we're living in right now. And he said, "When that's spent, I'll be back." And that's almost the end now. That's why, you know, you hear a lot of preachers use it that way. And when he comes back, he'll take care of anything else, debts we might have incurred. Verse 36, "Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. All right, we have a great story. We have a man that has a threefold misery. Number one, he was stripped of his raiment. They say it was about 18 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's about as far from here to Morganton. And he was traveling down this road, down the Jericho Road. And when he did, these thieves, I reckon they'd hang out like they did in Bonnie and Clyde days, back behind a rock or trees or something. And they said, here comes a traveler, let's get him. And jumped on him, beat him up, robbed him, stripped him of his clothes, and left him laying there half dead. He was stripped of his raiment. Everybody just for themselves, except those that are God's people. And then, two, he was wounded. He might have tried to withstand them, but he couldn't. They overpowered him. That's the way sin is, young people. You get out here and start going down the road to sin, it'll eat you up. It'll tire you up. It'll mess up your life. You can't handle it. I've heard a lot of boys go out and say, I can handle it. I can drink a little bit. You can't neither. You can't handle liquor. Liquor will handle you. They say first a man takes a drink, then the drink takes the man, or then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes a man. Drugs, the same way. Any kind of sin you can think of is the same way. It gets bigger than you. You can't control it. It just takes over your life. Any kind of drugs, any kind of perversion, anything you get yourself in that's sinful, it strips you. It rips away everything you've got. He was wounded. His reputation, that's his raiment there, was stripped away. How many young people do you know, and mamas and dads, that are out there this evening stripped of their reputation and everything because they went down the wrong road and fell among thieves? That's the devil. The devil's crowd. And then he was half dead. He could do nothing but wait and pray for help. That's a picture of a sinner. Needs God. You know, before you got saved, you was half dead. All dead spiritually. You had a live body and a dead spirit. And when you got saved, you got a dead body and a live spirit. Your body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is made alive. I'm covering a lot of ground there in all them deep Bible studies, but he's half dead. We saw a threefold misery. Then we see a threefold attitude. There's threefold attitude toward this fella. All right? Let's fix us a fella here. Josh, it'll be you. Just lay down on the floor right there. All right, he's beat. He's stripped. Got blood coming out of his nose. I mean, he's got his clothes ripped off. I mean, he's sickening to look at. And all right, there's three fellas coming down. These three fellas right here. Y'all stand up, and they're over here. The Bible said the first one is your three attitudes. There's a man that's a sinner. He's a sinner where you work. He's a sinner at school. He's a sinner that lives beside you. And everybody in here is going to fit in one of these three categories. Everybody in here. One of these three guys is going to represent your attitude. What does the Bible say first? A certain Levite. Right? The priest, I'm sorry. The priest came by. Here's the high priest of that day. Oh, he was so holy. He wouldn't eat without washing his hands. He wouldn't walk but so many feet on the Sabbath day. Oh, man. Oh, he had more rules and convictions than anybody you ever met in your life. But look what happened when he saw that man in the shape he's in. He just gets as far away from him as he can get and passes by on the other side. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's a picture of a lot of Baptists today. They'll go down the road, they'll see a kid hanging out at the pool hall, maybe a young boy or a young girl, and they're not dressed right, and they're on drugs, stringy hair, something like that, and they just go, oh, disgusting. Oh, how sickening, those sinners. They're going to get what they deserve one of these days, and go on down the road. You know what that egg does? It makes God sick. It makes God sick. You've got to make sure that you don't start hating sinners. You've got to hate sin, but you've got to make sure you don't start hating sinners. We're supposed to love sinners, but we're supposed to hate sin. I've heard preachers say some mighty strong things about sinners, and I have myself. But we got to check ourselves and make sure we don't hate people. I've heard preachers preach to people about going to hell like they're glad they're going. Haven't you? And homosexuals and stuff like that. We're not supposed to be glad anybody's going to hell. Amen? Now let's be honest tonight. His attitude turned the stomach of God. And then this fella here, he was a Levite. That was the most religious people of the day. He done a little bit better than the priest. He walked, and the Bible said at least he looked at him. You know, got a good look at him. Through them bifocals there. And then he goes on down the road. Alright? He goes on down the road. Now, some people do that. They'll come to church. Oh, isn't it pitiful? Isn't it pitiful the shape the world's in? Boy, I'll tell you, Brother Danny talked about them child abusers last week. My, my. What a mess this old world's in. What? We need to really pray. All that, but then never do nothing about it. Ain't that right? And that's where the big majority of us fit in. We got a heart for people. I mean, we don't want nobody to die and go to hell. We don't want nobody to go be lost. We don't want nobody out in sin. But we don't want it bad enough to do something about it. We don't hate it bad enough to do something about it. All right, the Good Samaritan comes down the road. Good Samaritan comes down the road. The Bible said when he sees him, he has compassion on him. And he gets down with him and helps him. And binds up his wounds. And puts oil and wine in it. And then he puts him on his donkey or beast, whatever he had. And he takes him and puts him in a motel room. And he does all of that. I mean, he got a little blood on him maybe. He was late for his appointment. I always used to preach it. When I preach it, I preach this. Levi come by and see that guy saying, I ain't got time to fool with him. I'm going to be late for church. You know, and while the world's going to hell. Now listen, brother, there's more to being a Christian than just coming to church on Sunday. How much are we doing about those people that are out there in sin? Okay, all of you, I'll sit down just a second. Which group do you fit in? Which group do you fit in? Are you in the group that just leave here tonight and see a man standing out there, maybe a greasy hired man with his thumb stick out on the road, and just say, come not nigh unto me, for I am holier than thou. You know, are you in that category? Are you in the category that says, oh, that's a sinner. That breaks my heart. Boy, we need to really pray for him. And then go home and forget all about him. Or are you in the category that said, hey, my heart is aching for that guy. I need to give him a track. I try to stay in that last group. I'm not always in that last group. I tell you, I feel guilty when I pass somebody if I think, and when them guys over at O-Teen Hospital, I'm sure Brother Bruce will tell you the same thing. When you go walking in the front of that hospital, if that don't tire your heart out, you're a hard-hearted individual. Man, you see them old fellas sitting out there in them wheelchairs. I mean, been that way 20 and 30, some of them 35 years just sitting there. Some of them legs blowed off right here, and they just sitting there. Some of them with a drooling down through here, you know, and been sitting there like that. Maybe give their life or their legs or whatever in the war. And you sitting there, and most of the time I'll have some tracks in my pocket, and it's just like God won't let me go by them without giving them a track. I think, man, I may be the only person that ever talked to them or care. I walk up to them, I'll give them, I go in the hospital, I'll lay them down all over the place. The second coming, God's last name is not damned. Something like that, you know. Lay it all over the place. And I put them tracks down, and if I walk by them, I feel guilty. I do. I feel like if I'm going to be like Jesus, the woman at the well, Nicodemus and people, he went to them. It's easy to have a position, you know, to stand up here and preach to the multitudes, but I better care about that one out there in sin without God, without God. That person that you get groceries from, that person that passes on the street, that person that works beside you, God may have you there as a missionary to minister to that person. How many of you people here tonight are at this church because somebody at work or school kept on to you and on to you and kept working to you and trying to get you to come and you finally come? Would you raise your hand? I want you to look at that. I want you to look at that. That's a crowd of people. Ain't you glad somebody... What if it had been, we just walk by on the other side and say, ain't no hope for them. Wicked sinners out there partying. I'm glad somebody had enough compassion and went and done something. Which group are you in? Are you in the one that perfectly ignored him? Are you in the one that was interested, had a little curiosity, and looked on? You're a little inquisitive about it, but no compassion? You want to know how bad everything is, but don't want to do nothing about it? Or are you in the third category of the Good Samaritan? Well, the Bible says, go and do thou likewise. The Bible said in Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. On these trips we go on with the young people, when we stop and get gas late at night, well, I'll tell you, I remember I had Josh up here a minute ago. Man, I remember we stopped coming back from Kentucky, and I got to look at them boys, and they was everywhere. They was a subway or something hooked on to the gas station. They was across, afraid somebody's going to kill them. I mean, they was over yonder, had people cornered up against cars, and everywhere just saying, here, I'll tell you about God, tell you about God. I love to see people get on fire like that and see them witness. Amen. And a lot of people say, well, that's We done had one church. I done heard one report where some young people got lectured after they come back from a youth rally in another state. Somebody told me, said, pastor's wife got the kids in and tried to calm them down a little bit and said that emotionalism wasn't, you know, that it was going a little overboard and stuff like that. So they said that people that went around all these camp meetings and stuff and shouting and everything was carnal. They said that was carnal, that was a weak Christian. And I said, I reckon I'm carnal in, because I sure like to go around and shout at them. But anyway, I'm going to give you these things right quick, and I'll be through. Here's you seven things that made the Good Samaritan like Jesus. And the Lord told us to go and do that likewise. Number one, I've done said it. He came where he was. He went where he was. He went where that man was. I tell you, I praise God for our bus workers. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going where people are. They're going. Sometimes I worry about them, especially these ladies out like that. You never know when some idiot's going to come out with a gun or something. One night, me and somebody went down here. I can't remember who that was. Went visiting over here on the lake, and we went and seen a fellow. Somebody been trying to get to visit somebody. And I said, they're about there in the backyard. And we come around there, and about that time, a man stepped from around the house with a gun like this. And he said, "All right, drop it." And man, I tell you, I jumped out of the way like that, you know. And that other guy, he said, "You just going to let him shoot me, wasn't he?" I said, "Man, you jump out of the way for you, and I'll jump out of the way for me. And I ain't going to stand there and let him shoot me just because you ain't got enough sense to move." But that guy was just playing. He was just playing. A big smile come on his face, and I'm like, "Phew." I guess, you know, he's just joking, man. He's years off your life. And I ain't never had nobody really pull a gun on me. I don't have a knife. But you know something? He came where he was. He came where the man was. He went where that man was. How many of you ever remember a preacher coming to your house or a soul winner before you got saved? Raise your hand. Well, that's just about everybody in here, just about. I remember Preacher Hollifield, I think, coming to my house when I was about 15. I'd always go to the back room or something, hide till the preacher out. Or, you know, we'd go in the other room or something, because it just made you feel uncomfortable, the preacher in the house. And he'd leave, you know, pray or something and leave. But the Bible said when we were that without strength, Christ died ungodly. When we couldn't do nothing for ourselves, Jesus come to where we was. You want to be like Jesus? You go where they are. Go where they are. Man, if you want to be like Jesus, get Brother Danny Tucker sometime, take you a trip to New York City or something, go on them streets. And they're laying there on cardboard boxes. They're laying there. Go where they are. Just go where they are. And they're here too. It ain't just in New York. They're everywhere. And second thing, first of all, if you want to be like Jesus, he went where. Second, he had compassion on him. He had compassion. He loved us, the Bible says, and gave himself for us. The Lord loved us and gave himself for us. You want to be like Jesus? Love sinners and be willing to give yourself. Number three, he bound up his wounds. He bound up his wounds. He'll bind us, he'll heal us. He'll help. Now, we got the medicine that people need. We have the medicine that people need. I've got a medicine book right here that could solve any marriage problem, could solve any guilt trip, can take care of any sin that a man's got in his heart and life. We can bound up their wounds. And then he set him on his beast. He put him on the beast there and gave him the ride. That's been pictured and typified by the grace of God, taking him to the church and putting him in the church, pictured by the inn and all of that. He put him on his beast and brought him in. This man couldn't do it himself. Jesus, the picture of Jesus put him on his beast. That's grace. And grace carried him on home and took him to the motel. The Lord lifts him and sets us in his place. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God. Now, right now, he's elevated us to be sons of God. Number five, he brought him to the inn. That's a picture of the church there. That's a picture of shelter. That's a picture of friend. And if you want to be like Jesus, get people in the church. Get people in the church. Get them in the church. I believe God. I've said this over and over and over, and I believe it. I believe it in my soul. I believe what I'm getting ready to say. A lot of times people say, where in the world does all that money come from in that church? I say, I don't know. We had 920 people here Sunday morning in Sunday school, 1,000 for preaching. You can bet your bottom dollar that out of that 1,000, probably close to 600 of them don't have a job. There's 434 that don't, and another 150 of our own kids. That's probably almost 600 people here Sunday don't have a job. And at least 100 visitors, that's 700, at least 250 people that pay the bills here. And we're all just trash like us, most of us. Now, where it comes from, I don't know. Where that $13,000 come from Sunday, I don't know. But I tell you what I believe. I believe God looks down. He sees every door them bus workers knock on. He sees them special citizens coming up in here. He sees us giving money to families that need it. He sees us buying tracts. He sees us putting it in missions. He sees it. And he said, I'm going to bless them because they're caring about them people that I died for. I don't believe a church will ever have a financial problem if they'll stay busy after sinners. What's wrong with a lot of churches? They say, well, we can't afford to do this. We can't afford to do that. You can afford to do what God wants you to do. And if God says do it, just do it. And He'll take care of it. And don't worry about the money. Man, I tell you what, if we worried about the budget and the money, they asked me at the bank that we got to see a copy of the budget. And I said, we ain't got one. He said, you ain't got one. And I said, I tell you what we are. We're a big church that operates like a little church. And I said, we've just started together and we've always done it that way. And if we got money, we spend it. And if we don't, we don't. Sometimes we do if we don't. But we just do it and try to obey God, and He takes care of it. He takes care of it. Well, as long as you're trying to do something to reach sinners and do something for God, He'll take care of it. You got a sincere heart. Brought him to the end. Number six, he took care of him. That's what I'm talking about. He paid the price. He cared for him. And that's what we should do. You want to be like Jesus? Take care of somebody. Lady called me twice. She hears me on the radio down in Lincolnton. She's got a medical bill of $42. Yeah, she can't pay it. They're adding $2 a day interest and all of that kind of stuff. And I just mentioned to them a while ago, just write a check and send it to her. And you say, well, you know her? Nope. She ever been here to church? No. Don't we need it? Yeah. You say, why did he do that? Because that's what the Lord done here in the Bible. Amen? You say, well, don't you get ripped off? Yep, the Lord got ripped off a lot. But if you do it with a right heart and a sincere and try to do the best you can, you ask our deacons. Man, they help people all the time. We give them food. We got food stored up there. Take it to people. The social services people here. When they go to the social service, that's a great testimony for our church. When they go to the social service, I need some help. They say, call New Manor Baptist Church. They come down here, I say, call First Baptist. No, I don't say that. I don't say that. I have mentioned it a time or two. My soul, her church has been paid for 79 years. All right. He took care of him. Number seven. He left a promise. Number seven, he left a promise. He said, when I come back, I'll pay for everything else he runs up. Amen. He said, I ain't just paying for putting him here tonight and tomorrow night, them 2 days. He said, if he runs up a bill and has to have any medical attention or anything like that, when I get back, I'll take care of that. Amen. Thank God, brother. That's shouting ground. Amen. Glory to God. The Lord, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. He left them with a promise. The promise was, I'll be back by this way. And after them 2 pence was spent, here he came. Boy, I hope that is a picture of that 2,000 years, because that just about run out. We're in 1995. If it is, he'll be back. The Good Samaritan will be back here shortly. And that's why you kids better make sure you're right with God. That's why you better make sure you do what God will do, because He's coming back soon. Coming back soon. All right, there's your 7 lessons and 7 ways that you can be like the Lord in this story of the Good Samaritan. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I don't doubt at all that God didn't speak to somebody's heart. Maybe you're here tonight, And I want Kathy to come to the pen and just play softly for just a minute. Maybe you're here tonight and God's really dealt with you. And you say, preacher, I tell you, that's an example that I really need to follow in my life. And I know we're not having an emotional crying, shouting time right now. But the fact is, brother, you don't have to. If you see something you need to do and you need to settle with God, just feel free to come and settle it and pray about that thing tonight. While she plays softly, we'll have just a little short invitation. Some are already coming. You just feel free. Just come out of your seat. Say, God, I want to be like that example that Jesus set for us there in that story of the Good Samaritan. I want to go where they are. I tell you, that puts me in conviction. I want to go where they are. We're going to take some tracts with us Saturday morning and take the young people out and give out tracts and witness. We want to go where sinners are and be a witness and a testimony to them. People that you work with, people that come in the office where you work, people that you live beside, people that you go to school with or ride the school bus with or see at school. You're going to go where they are and have compassion and do something about it. Tomorrow morning, visitation. Tomorrow night, visitation. It'd be a good time to say, I want to be like the Good Samaritan. I want to go where they are. I want to set an example for my kids and others. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, God, we thank you for the privilege of studying this great, great story. This story never grows old. We've heard many, 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 many times preached different ways and or taught and thought about. Lord, it's so rich and full of wonder. The words that fell from your lips. Oh, God, they instruct us here in 1995. Oh, Lord, we know you're coming back soon. I pray, God, that you'd be with us. Bless our church. Lord, help us not to play games. Help us not to play church. Help us to be on fire and mean it. God, send us out of here like a mighty army, Lord, to go where sinners are and have compassion. Lord, you know the need that we have, financial need, the school, and all this stuff. Oh, God, put it on somebody's heart to help us. Lord, you can do it. I pray, God, that you would. Lord, there's somebody somewhere that could help us, and I pray that you'd put it on their heart. Move on them. Bless the men, Lord, as they work this weekend. Bless the young people's trip. Move in here in the Sunday school this morning and Sunday night and preaching service. And God, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.